Interesting Items 0322. Howdy all, a few interesting items for your information. Enjoy. In this issue. 1. Military. 2. China. 3. Lisa. 4. Bailout. 5. Federalism. 6. Iowa. 7. ID. 8. Crime. 1. Military. The Harris-Biden regime has picked right up where Bill Clinton and Barack Obama left off, a full-fledged attempt to fully politicize the U.S. military. So far, it is working, kind of, with incessant gaslighting about the success of the anti-extremism stand down. Unfortunately, there are stories leaking out from the indoctrination and self-criticism sessions that have officers, enlisted and civilians questioning why the Jan 6 riot at the Capitol is any worse than 9 solid months of BLM, Antifa rioting. Apparently the news amplets so far have no answers. Of course, the questioners will be identified and never see another promotion. A few stories for your consideration. The Biden military leadership chose their first target of the new war, one Tucker Carlson of FNC who had the audacity to question military wokeness, flight suits for pregnant women, rewriting a fitness test so that more women can pass in an episode a couple weeks ago. The military response was both epic and completely over the top, by which I mean foolish. Not only did officers and enlisted pass along their political views about Carlson dissing diversity, most of them did it in uniform and identified themselves as active military members. One of these was Marine Corps Master Gunnery Sergeant Scott Stalker, Space Command Senior Enlisted Leader. He publicly went after Carlson while wearing his uniform. His second commentary was in civilian clothes. This little episode got congressional attention with a few U.S. senators demanding to meet with members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to discuss their newfound ability to make political statements while wearing the uniform. Not surprisingly, following this and SecDef Austin's stand-down order to root out extremism, public trust in the military is dropping significantly as they appear more interested in diversity than they currently do with China, Iran, Russia, or anything else. What a surprise, / sark. And it only took Biden, Harris a couple months to do the trick. Current trust in the military is down 14% since 2018, with most of it taking place this year. The week also saw National Guard troops from Guam used by Congressman Michael San Nicolas, also from Guam and also under an ethics investigation, marched down the halls of congressional offices, in uniform, to protest Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene lumping Guam into a list of foreign countries which should not get COVID relief dollars. So, we have uniformed military being marched through the halls of Congress to protest. Great. 2. China. Unsurprisingly, with all this concentration on wokeness in the military, wargaming Qi Com attacks on Taiwan has not been going all that well. Indeed, every time they do one, they lose faster and more completely. Last fall's wargame started with a Qi Com biological attack that swept U.S. bases and ships throughout the Pacific. We can thank Fauci for helping fund that research, BTW. The game took place last fall, starting with a bioweapon that disabled a U.S. carrier. In the midst of the war game, actual Qi Com jets crossed the median line in the Taiwan Strait 40 times while conducting simulated attacks on the island. 4 days after Harris, Biden took office, a large force of Qi Com bombers and fighters flew past Taiwan and launched simulated missile attacks on the USS Roosevelt carrier strike group in international waters. Some are predicting a Qi Com attack on Taiwan in the next 5 years or sooner. My guess is sooner rather than later based on Qi Com's analysis of Harris, Biden weakness. While the linked article above predicts doom and gloom, all is not immediately lost. The Qi Com military, while growing quickly in power and belligerence, has never conducted a large-scale amphibious operation, and at some point in the festivities, they will actually have to insert forces who intend to stay. This may end up being the functional equivalent of an invasion of Japan and end as disastrously for the Qi Coms as Truman expected a U.S. invasion on Japan to do. The CCP is a known entity, with perhaps 3,000 families exploiting the rest of their countrymen. Don't you think Taiwanese know where a bunch of these people live? If it were me, I'd target them first, just like I would target the Ayatollahs in Qom should the balloon go up in Iran. Don't forget that the enemy always gets a vote. And in any civil war, that vote will be far more interesting and unexpected than anyone believes today. Odo, it is entirely possible that the Taiwanese fold like a cheap suit on day one. If they do, they won't be the last domino targeted by the Chi comms, which will quickly lead to a nuclear arms race in the region where all the nations neighboring China arm themselves. Several of those nations have the ability to do it very quickly. 3. Lisa. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski was censured by the Republican Central Committee a week ago for her vote to convict private citizen Donald Trump of inciting the Jan 6 riot. Her vote was pure personal spite and hatred for Trump, something she has demonstrated time after time since 2016. This time, her viciousness hurt her. The party is going to find another candidate to support for 2022 when Lisa is up for re-election. We will see how successful she will be. Her re-election will be helped a bit by a rewrite of state election law via ballot initiative that does away with the party primary structure, lumping everyone into a single jungle primary. The vote to censure was 77% in favor. This is significant because it is the first time a sitting member of the Alaska congressional delegation has been publicly censured by their political party. 4. Bailout. I haven't taken a close look at the COVID-19 legislation finally passed by Congress a week or two ago, other than to note that it is an utter disaster. A couple things of note. First, is that it bails out blue cities and blue states who have not been willing or able to take care of their finances. And it does it at the expense of red states who have been fiscally responsible. It also includes a provision that prohibits any state who receives any of the relief funds from cutting taxes after receiving that funding. 5. Federalism. So, how do we fight this? Given that the Harris, Biden regime is completely corrupt with Obama loyalists pulling its strings. Given the deep state is as corrupt as it has ever been, now using the fib to hunt down and intimidate conservatives. Given Pelosi is using her razor-thin majority to pump out every single wet dream of the Democrats over the last two decades. And finally, given the squishes in the U.S. Senate on the Republican side who don't have the belly for a fight, the question arises, where do we go? What do we do? The old World War II admonition: when in trouble, when in doubt, run in circles. Scream and shout? Hardly. First is to acknowledge there is a problem. Nobody I know on the political right has failed to do this. Second is to assess our forces and tools to counter the big push. Our strength is at the state and local level, particularly in the red states. Our strength is also among all Americans who actually want to work. Trump has shown the way for Republicans to become the party of working men and women. Not white, Asian, or Christian working people, but all of them, which is the lever to start moving the momentum in the right direction. At its most basic level, the red states need to get into the nullification business, nullifying any and everything coming out of Biden, Pelosi or Schumer. The working people are going to get themselves in the business of flipping the machines in the blue cities, which in turn have flipped numerous states blue. My guess is that we are about to get a real up-close and personal lesson in federalism. 6. Iowa. Like they did 20 years ago, House Democrats are in the process of stealing a congressional seat won by a Republican in a close election in Iowa. The Republican won by just 6 votes and her election was certified on November 30. The losing Democrat announced she would contest her loss before the House Administration Committee, claiming that 11 ballots were excluded due to poll worker errors and another were excluded due to unsealed, damaged envelopes, drop box outside the county, voter signature in the wrong location, or poll worker errors. She is asking the House to invalidate the state-certified results and do a uniform hand count. The committee announced it would move forward with the investigation. Interestingly enough, this very same House committee was completely uninterested in every single Trump claim of election malfeasance for the presidential election. In Pelosi's House, it matters a lot more which party you're in than what sort of election foolishness was done. 7. ID. Fun little story out of Washington, D.C. last week when someone pointed out that an ID is required for your COVID vaccine but is not required for voting. AARP, very much the conservative mouthpiece, not, confirms the story while local media is an emphatic no. 8. Crime. Interesting story out of American Thinker last week describes what went on in the November election as the sovereign crime of industrial-scale vote fraud. The piece described a meeting by people who put together and operate the leading criminal profiling systems used by law enforcement. They claimed to have broken eBay auction fraud rings and deployed new technology to end auction fraud as an emerging crime category. They identified numerous Medicaid fraud rings and were hired by most of the largest property and casualty insurance firms to solve auto crash rings that eluded the FIB. They also claim some ability to predict crime and terrorist activity. The profilers have no interest in U.S. elections. Two of them did not vote and had really ugly opinions about both candidates. To them, the 2020 election was an industrial-level crime. It was so large that it was moved from the category of an election crime to that of a sovereign crime, something we don't see all that often here in the U.S. A sovereign crime requires government institutions to organize, to commit, support, and/or hide a crime. This time around, organized crime took place in plain view and it was supported by or covered up by government institutions, state courts, blue state governments, blue state local governments, and most of all by the federal courts. Sovereign crime means your government was a participant, and had an active or passive in enabling vote fraud. Governors and secretaries of state refused to cleanse voter rolls, refused to check signatures for mail-in ballots, changed the rules weeks before an election. The national government refused to investigate the worst examples of voter fraud, like hundreds of thousands more ballots than voters in several states. The FIB refused to investigate the truck delivery of hundreds of thousands of printed ballots across state lines from NY to PA. These were the same guys who dispatched a team to investigate a noose-shaped pull on a garage door at a NASCAR event. The USPS managers telling employees to backdate ballots. This all means government entities were participating in vote fraud. The profilers concluded that this was on such a scale that it was impossible for the major law enforcement agencies not to have known about it in advance, meaning they are either actively engaged in the fraud, something that is impossible to prove, or knowingly agreeing to it after the fact. Profilers know that fraudsters have their own patterns of action, making them predictable over time. Fraud becomes a constant, a profession. Fraud rings, when organized, grow. They continue to expand, slightly shifting profiles, corrupting more people over time with money that dwarfs what one might make honestly. Techniques that work grow and thrive. Those that don't die out. Patterns emerge in these equal predictions, which enables eradication. In the opinion of the profilers, 2020 election fraud did not just spring up as a new thing. It is impossible for an organization to span so many states using similar techniques to succeed the first time around. Therefore, this must have happened before. Perhaps it is time to take a close look at 2014, 2016, and 2018. Texas data supports 2020 type fraud took place in 2016 and 2018. It will continue to grow in 2022 and 2024. And the fraudsters will overplay their hands. There are technologies available to stop this, but if the government is in on it, does it really matter? More later. AG. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Samuel Adams, Speech at the Philadelphia State House, August 1, 1776.